Welcome to the Panic Pod, a podcast dedicated to talking all about all things anxiety. I'm joined by my co-host, Ella Jean.
Hello.
And this is our first ever podcast. I'm quite nervous, actually, ironically. But we'll see how it goes today. How are you feeling, Ella?
I'm really excited. I'm stoked for this.
Yeah, I was excited until we then pressed record and like a rabbit in the headlights about to talk to people about anxiety. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the podcast. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. We best explain who we are.
Yeah, you have quite the background in talking to other people about anxiety. Could you tell us a bit about that, Josh?
Well, that's very flattering. Very flattering indeed. This is the bit where my head expands a bit. I'm a fully qualified psychotherapist based in Manchester, and I work with people with anxiety disorders. I've also written a best-selling book in the UK called Anxiety, Panicking About Panic. Likelihood is you've probably listened to this because you've read the book, but if you've not, welcome. And I've also got an upcoming release, Anxiety Practical About Panic, and that's been bought by Hodder and Stoughton, John Murray Press, and I'm excited for that to come out this year.
And I'm so excited to read it because I have read your first book, and I can't wait to see what the next one's about.
Yeah. How did you find the first book, all right?
It was when I first met you, and then you said that you had a book on Amazon. I was like, well, really? And I got it, and I was like, oh, wow. Very, like a lot of people, my first response was practical, very useful.
Oh, good. And then you can tell me what you really think afterwards when the mic's off. But yeah, thanks for helping plugging my book there. Thank you. It's brilliant. That's what I have a practice called the Panic Room over in Salford, which I don't want to annoy people from Salford, but it's kind of near central Manchester. And there I work daily working with people with all sorts of anxiety, and I'll explain to you shortly about the different types of anxiety and whether or not this podcast will be suitable for you. But enough about me, I'm already cringing talking about myself. Not that my mum or my friends would say that, but I do feel really cringy inside. Yeah. Ella, why don't you tell the world about yourself?
Oh, well, I met you, Josh, in the music scene in Manchester. I'm in a band that's called Ugly. I do a monthly podcast called The Moon, where I do sketches and do a mixtape of songs. And I'm just all about that creativity and bring it into people's lives. And I did a degree which talked a lot about psychology, and I've always just been really interested in it. And so whenever I get to hang out with you, Josh, I always really like picking your brain on it and just finding out what your opinions are and sort of different things that happen in society. So I'm really excited for this for that.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. I'm glad to have you on board. I did try and record a podcast on my own, and I fell asleep listening to my own podcast 10 minutes in, which I suppose is all right if you're...
Maybe you just really needed a nap. Did you think about that?
It just needed something. So I'm really glad that you've joined me on this project, because you bring such a really nice energy. And we can plug your music as well throughout the podcast, because Ella's in a fantastic music group called Ugly, and also just in general, what a very talented musician and very intelligent person who just finished a degree as well before you. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. In linguistics, so you can, no pressure in your pronunciation. And
yeah, like I'll put footnotes whenever there's something that you're not defining properly within this podcast.
No. All right. Okay, so the Panic Pod, this podcast exists, and we're going to talk about all things anxiety. Obviously, anxiety is a word that covers a broad spectrum of different forms and facets of anxiety. The first and main one that I was interested in is the phenomena of panic attacks, and people who have frequent panic attacks, so that's people with panic disorder. I've personally had that in the past as well. I was diagnosed with panic disorder, and well, I suppose I still am. I didn't go back to the doctor and say, completed it, mate.
Really, yeah, they don't really like to end diagnosis on things that you go to see a therapist for, do they? Really like to be like, nope, you're good now.
Hi, doc. I'd just like to say that I've completed that. And I no longer have panic disorder.
Can I get my certificate for completing anxiety?
Yeah, it would probably just up my meds or something. But no, I used to have a panic disorder. I can safely say I don't have that. Panic disorder or panic attacks. Disorder basically is a fancy word for saying it happens all the time.
Mm.
You know, so don't ever be afraid if you've been diagnosed with a disorder. It just means this keeps happening.
Right.
You know,
okay,
I've got a crisp eating disorder. Like
just means this is a thing. This I didn't realize that the technical term of disorder would just be that it's ongoing.
Yeah, it's basically a load of boffins in a room going, this keeps happening. We don't know why. Let's label it disorder.
Mm.
Carry on. I mean, that's a bit of a sweeping statement. But in the field of anxiety, that generally is, and in my experience.
Mm.
Yeah, panic attacks. We'll talk quite a bit about that. They're extremely frightening experiences. Have you ever had one, Ella?
Yeah, actually. We were talking about this a little before that my experience with anxiety, again, I don't know if I'm cured. I haven't checked back with a therapist to see, is my diagnosis over? But for a very long time, I have not had panic attacks. It was something that I did experience quite a bit in high school, but I haven't for years.
Yeah. So you can relate to it from a school perspective. That's interesting because I developed panic attacks when I was older.
Mm, but how old were you?
I was 23.
Okay, right.
And yeah, it just struck me from nowhere. So that's interesting. We could share perspectives from you being a young age and myself being an adult. But yeah, panic attack is basically, and the odds on, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably had one yourself, but it's that intense feeling of fear and dread. It's like a fear, it's like a feeling that something really bad is about to happen, and yet the situation is really incongruous to that feeling. It doesn't quite make sense, and so the panic occurs when we're trying to work out why we feel so scared. You know, something bad's going to happen, surely, when? And then the confusion gets added to it, and then the physical symptoms of anxiety come in, and then suddenly we end up losing our breath, hyperventilating, and basically wondering why on earth we're feeling so scared, usually in situations that don't warrant it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had my first panic attack making a cup of tea at work.
Oh, wow,
which was strange. And
incongruous, definitely.
Yeah, it seemingly came from nowhere, but as I got to learn about myself and learn about the world of anxiety and do my studies and speak to people and work with people, I soon come to realize that actually panic attacks don't come from anywhere. We'll discuss that in the podcast as well.
Right,
Did you notice that about yourself in school? Was it situational? Did it kind of come up from nowhere?
Well, I'm really glad to hear you define it, because I actually have never... I think when I was younger, I looked it up. Like, I did a Google search to be like... And tried to find people on YouTube or people talking about it. About what a panic attack actually was. And then when I described it to a therapist a while later, then that was kind of confirmed. Like, yeah, that was a panic attack. But for me, it was incongruous as well. I would, for a while, it was, you know, probably like once, maybe even twice a week, sometimes when I would come home from high school and I was one of those kids that was always feeling like I had to do a lot of stuff. So I would be at band practice at 7:15 in the morning in Canada, which is dark from like 10. It gets light at like 10 a.m. and gets dark again at like 5 in the winter. Mm-hmm. So you have like this long period of darkness. So I show up in the dark, early morning band practice, stay for 2 hours for like drama rehearsals or whatever in the evening. So I'm leaving at like 7 p.m. and I would get home and it would be my math homework that I would look at and just have this huge feeling of overwhelm. And what was really strange when what actually kind of made me think, okay, this must be a panic attack, was like really intense breathing, and I would like hyperventilate, and I would then usually either like cry or have to go to sleep. just feel completely
really
exhausted. Yeah, it hasn't happened for a really long time, so it's like it's weird kind of thinking about what that period of my life was like. But yeah, like Yeah, I just, looking back, I can see, man, I was just, you're just trying so hard to do so many things.
I
and like
prepared for this, Ella. I didn't know about this before the podcast. Why didn't you tell me about this?
Well, it was, you know, it's when it's a long time ago, you don't really have to think about that. But, yeah, sorry, Josh, kind of dropped a bombshell in there. But,
just having a full-on breakdown in episode one.
We said it's okay to laugh and it's okay to cry here, both things. But no, like, and when you're that young, you don't really know what it is that's going on or what's happening. But it's kind of also, for me, it was just like your body kind of finally going like, I can't take this anymore. Like your mind's trying to think through all of these things that you have to do. And although I wasn't in front of my teachers or in a rehearsal or any of those like pressure filled situations that maybe should have been eliciting that response, it was when all of those people were gone and it was just me and my math homework and I was alone. And it was like,
that's interesting as well. And it's in itself when that's all gone and you had a moment to yourself,
yeah,
you just faced with another kind of symbol of another thing you have to do.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I'd so I wasn't making a cup of tea, but then when that happened, when you were with a cup of tea, was that like in front of people or was that when you had a first time that you were like alone?
It was nothing to do with the tea. And what was happening is that, similar to your story, actually, my life was full of a lot of stress.
Hmm.
Some listeners might know the situation because I do say it in my book. But the tea was just, I don't know, it was just my body saying enough.
Hmm.
And it was the fight or flight response in my brain just basically saying there's danger somewhere. And it was just getting confused because it couldn't understand why I'd put myself under all that pressure. And I had a very stressful job at the time and my home life was very stressful and various things was very stressful.
Hmm.
And that's why it occurred. Yeah, and I'll share a bit more of that in mm-hmm. future episodes, mm-hmm. I think, particularly when we're exploring panic attacks and where they come from.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to learn more about it because, like I say, like I didn't really know enough of even what I was experiencing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I still really know if someone else was going through one or was talking to me about it, if I would know what's actually really happening. So it'll be interesting to talk about that.
It's so good for empathy as well. So if you didn't have a friend or someone that's going through it, if you know and kind of tooled up knowledge-wise, I think it's really helpful, and it's for anyone listening as well. It's very helpful, even if you're just listening to try and understand what a friend's going through or a loved one. Yeah, we'll talk through the phenomenology of, don't edit that out. Let them see I'm human. Yeah, look through the phenomenology of panic attacks because I think it's really important, and the physiological background to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so another facet of anxiety that we're going to look at in this podcast is social anxiety, which is a huge topic, particularly as it's surfaced and more people are talking about it. A lot of my friends have social anxiety, particularly in the music circles as well. I don't know if you've ever... You're right in the music circles. A lot of musicians I found have social anxiety as well as... I mean, everyone has it, but I just found there's quite a large concentration.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is surprising because people can get on stage and sing and
yeah.
be in an audience, but general interactions, I found social anxiety is definitely becoming more noticed. I can't say it's on the rise, but it's I'm noticing it more and more, particularly in my practice as well. People that are afraid of interactions with them. So I'll list some examples of common assumptions that people have with social anxiety. One is having a constant awareness of how you're being perceived during a dialogue. So you and I are talking now, but if I had really bad social anxiety, which I have had in the past, I'd be thinking, what's Ella thinking? Am I looking okay? Is my face okay? Did I say something that was good? I hope I didn't offend her. Is she interested? Is she just trying to... And basically have this constant anxious dialogue that's stopping you from being in the present or engaging.
Which make it impossible to talk, really, because you're just constantly going through this filter.
Exactly, yeah. Just to please maybe the other person or to do things okay. Another common one is anticipating a conversation or a social event. How am I going to come across? Am I going to come across okay? And also that works retroactively as well. So after an event, someone with social anxiety might be like, oh, did I offend that person? Did I come across okay? And people can lose sleep on it. And luckily, I didn't have it that bad, but I've worked with a lot of people where it's really important to them sort of how they come across. And the origins of that are always really interesting, and I can share some of them with you during the podcast as well. Yeah, social anxiety. What comes to mind to you when I said...
Well, yeah, like that was... yeah, again, sort of one of the first things that I talked about with someone when I started to see a therapist, because it was like, for me, I had this weird thing as a teenager of like walking down the street in Calgary, and if I were to pass a group of people and they were just to laugh, like as a group of friends, then immediately I'd think they were laughing at me. It was something about what I was wearing. It's something about how I looked. It's something about me.
It was you.
Assuming it was me. And that just, as soon as I kind of started to have that, then that was my first sort of clue when I went to see somebody. I was like, this isn't normal, is it? And she was like, well, no. And it's interesting when you're experiencing that stuff as like a teenager, because there is some of it that's just like, it's just life things that you do have to learn. And I was lucky that I was in a position in life where, you know, my dad's work could cover this sort of thing, where I could like go and see someone professional and sort of talk to them about it. But because it was just one of those things, I think if I had left it, I would have become even more reclusive and even more like scared to talk to people. But what was most useful to me when I saw somebody about having social anxiety then was kind of when it came down to it, the therapist was just like, sometimes you actually kind of have to practice. And that sounds really weird, but just to like, if you're anticipating a social event and you're worried about the conversations you're going to have, it's actually okay to think about some things that you might make small talk with somebody about. Because I found that like, I was, and maybe this is a thing amongst musicians, maybe it's just me, that I was okay with friends who I had known already, or getting into deep conversations with people, even if they were strangers.
You felt safe with them.
Yeah. But any of the small talk surface stuff is what started to freak me out. And I think I thought was like, how are the people so okay with this? Just doing the small talk, doing the stuff that's on the surface.
And it's funny that you assume that everyone else was okay with it.
Right? Like, and that's, I think that's another thing, as I, you know, I was aware of this in my life and started reading more people who had experienced like depression or anxiety, like reading a lot of Stephen Fry, for example, who's often sort of talking about depression. He had that great thing about, we all assume that we're holding a Q-tip and everybody else behind them has a baseball bat, when in fact,
yes, good analogy.
Everyone else is just holding a Q-tip of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was kind of one of the first things. Also, I leaned really heavy into, I often just say that, because she said that, the thing about sometimes it's just about practice. In high school at that time, I was also getting really into improv comedy. And that was a huge fear that I used to help break past. And I still kind of hold on to the idea that I think a lot of people who do improv comedy picked doing improv comedy because they felt like it was something they wanted to practice. Yeah. And maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of people that get into performing sometimes have a thing that they actually, like, they want to overcome in their day-to-day lives as well as performing.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, because when I met you, you were one of genuinely the most confident people I know.
Oh, God.
and to know that you were, you know, you've actually put work in there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's actually really encouraging for anyone, you know, because I think some people are so despondent when they're socially anxious. They think you're kind of born with it, and no, you've got to... I mean, I'll speak for myself. I was born with it. But, you know, in general, it's good to know that if you practice at something, you get better at it. And, I mean, Ella did some shows at the Edinburgh Fringe, which was all improv. Which and to go from being socially anxious in that way to going all there, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy because I often, like, still getting on stage, this is kind of more of a recent thing that it's become more like conscious to me whenever I'm getting up and doing stuff like doing 25 days of doing an hour long improvised show, or getting up on stage in a trash dress for a comedy show like I did recently, like really weird stuff. And I'm like, often I actually have this thought that they can see my entire past and my entire who I was nervous and how much I've actually struggled with that. And recently I've kind of gone, but they can't though. Like when you go see somebody in open mic, all that you see is who they are there.
Oh, I think a lot of people with social anxiety will resonate with that. And from what I've heard in the practice as well.
Right.
They can see me. They can see it. Oh, that's lovely. We can look at that.
Yeah.
As well. Just a few of the others kind of anxiety, because I don't want to over cram the first episode and turn everyone's brain to soup. But the other facets of anxiety that I'd like to look at is generalized anxiety. So that's the general sense of unease, where things just aren't right. It's not necessarily panic. It's not necessarily worrying about what your friends think. It's just that unease. That's usually characterized by not being able to sit still or constantly trying to find or satiate a feeling where you don't feel productive. Making mental to-do lists, or just worrying, just generalized anxiety, just worrying excessively over stuff that your logical mind can assume that you don't really need to worry about it. That general sense of unease. So if you find yourself at home not being able to relax, constantly creating to-do lists, usually compulsive cleaners are like this. I'm going to some houses and the house is so clean, I'm like, this person definitely has anxiety, because it's giving me anxiety. It's so clean. I'm afraid to breathe in here. That's another facet of it, which I'm sure everyone can relate to, feeling that itchy feet and things like that. But that's another one of worrying. Another one is health anxiety. That's basically, in a nutshell, I don't like this term, but it's a hypochondria. I call it health anxiety now. So that's catastrophizing any symptom. So if I've got a headache, it's a brain tumor automatically. If I've got a stomach ache, it's something horrendous, like an abscess that's burst or whatever.
And it can put you into a cycle of worrying about the fact that you don't have a diagnosis just yet. And
definitely. And obviously that links back to panic disorder as well, because people then worry about why they're worrying. And that in itself becomes a problem. Why am I worrying? What's wrong with my brain? So that's health anxiety. We look at a lot of that. I have a lot of people come to me with like muscle twitching issues, pains, aches, heart palpitations, chest pains, and because their anxious response is going off, they're assuming and catastrophizing it's the worst case scenario, when actually 9 times out of 10 it's just symptoms of anxiety. But you can't see that when you're that anxious. And finally, another facet is agoraphobia. We say agoraphobia. How you say it in Canada?
Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. Agoraphobia, and that basically means fear of leaving the house. People often assume that people are afraid to leave the house because they're afraid of the outside, which is a misunderstanding. People are agoraphobic and they don't leave the house because they're afraid of how it will make them feel if they leave. It's another fear of fear situation. It's not all the outside is full of dangers, it's going to kill me. It's, am I going to have a panic attack when I leave the house? My only safe space is in the house, and I can only go to a certain few places where I feel safe and I won't feel panicky. So that's another thing that we can do in this podcast as well. Can you relate to any of those? The generalized, the health anxiety, the agoraphobia?
I'm really curious to hear more about generalized anxiety. And as you're saying all of these, it does sound like they're all sort of like these Venn diagrams that cross over each other. Because like you're saying, hypochondria, or not hypochondria, health anxiety can cross over, because anxiety has its, like you're saying, it's physiological aspects and it's psychological aspects. And if we feel something physiological, then sometimes you think, this could be something that's going on with my brain. But I'm really curious about generalized anxiety, because that's when it's this feeling of, I have to think this through, I have to sort this out, but I actually don't know what it is that I have to think through or sort out.
A feeling of immediacy.
Yeah.
And if you've ever felt that, that is kind of yeah, generalized sense of anxiety. It doesn't mean you have a diagnosis of it. We all have it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's chronic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know you've got generalized anxiety as well when you, when your whole life is kind of dictated by an I should do this, I should do that, I should do that, I should do that, I should that. And you don't take time out to go, right, okay, let's chill out and just do nothing.
Mm.
You know, what I like to teach people in my practice is to be lazy. Mm. Be like, oh, I'm not being lazy. I was like, why?
Mm.
Laziness is fun. Mm. You know, and it's exploring about why people don't do that and their beliefs and thing and things like that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely explore generalized anxiety,
mm.
particularly if it's an interest of yours. We'll definitely. And I'm talking very sanctimoniously, like I'm past all this. I still suffer with bouts of anxiety from various facets, but I can kind of, I'm at a place now where I'm comfortable with it and let it pass.
This is kind of funny that actually when we were sort of brainstorming ideas for this podcast and sort of talking about what we both want out of it before we start recording anything, I think it's really nice to clarify in this first episode that my job with you, or what we've talked about, and correct me if I'm wrong, we sort of talked about the fact that if there's anything that comes up that you say that's a very technical term or needs explaining, then it's my job to say, hey, Josh, can we elaborate on that? Can you kind of go into that? But I think it's your job in this to make sure that this doesn't just become Ella's free therapy session. That is not the whole reason that we're starting this podcast.
This is going to evolve into something wonderful. This is the plan all along. This was the intervention.
No.
The podcast, we're not even recording. This is the intervention. Just talking to the microphone.
The mics are
of course,
dead.
Of course. Of
the
course.
Cords aren't anywhere.
It's no,
but,
not even plugged
but
in.
I'm really curious and I really want to explore it, but but I think it's also been useful just going like, whatever I've experienced is something that I think a lot of people in different ways experience.
I think as well to bring attention to the fact that you, how good is it that you sought therapy for it? That's something I'm a huge advocate for. You sought therapy and it was really beneficial. Mm-hmm. There's so many people that are just afraid of it because they think they're broken or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that social taboo. But that's another kind of topic that we can look at. There's so much we can talk about in this podcast. I'm mm-hmm. really looking forward to it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of a brief overview of the different types of anxiety that we'll be looking at. The aims of the show, we're going to be quite loose in terms of we're open to suggestions. There's loads of things that we can talk about. We're going to keep it quite succinct, though. We don't want to get it to mm-hmm. go on too many tangents. We'd love to hear from kind of any listeners who want to email in and want to hear about something in particular. If not, we've mapped out a plan. Also, I'd like to hear what kind of, as Ella, she's this inquisitive, reflective co-host, I'd like to kind of answer and let, obviously go with your kind of intrigue and
yeah.
see how we go from there, because obviously I've worked in the field for quite a long time. I'd love to follow what you would like as well.
Yeah.
I want to know about that. And it'll give some kind of structure to the show and
yeah.
give the impression that we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Have a way into your massive brain and your massive amount
head.
Of knowledge.
Massive head. I've always been... Thanks, Ella. I was bullied for that at school. My massive head. There you go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It is huge. yeah, it's not... Yeah, well, I use some of it anyway. and I'm really, really grateful that you're joining me on this. I cannot wait to kind of talk about it more. It's quite... I'll be honest, it's a scary project to do.
Hmm.
But even if it helps one person, I'll be absolutely delighted.
Well, I was so like touched that you asked me to join in with this because, yeah, as I say, I hope that I'm coming from the listener's perspective. I hope that I'm coming from the angle of people who have a lot of questions that they've always wanted to ask someone who's a therapist.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant to have you with that as well. And you'll be able to see it as well from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. The success of my first book was that I was coming in fresh and answering my own questions. But now, because I've been in the field for quite a long time,
mm-hmm.
I think I've kind of forgotten
mm-hmm.
the angle to come from someone who wants to know more. So
yeah.
I'm so glad to have you on there as well. Also, look forward to hearing jingles and things that you can make for the show and show off your music. Okay.
Set the tone. All
right, well, we'll conclude our first episode there. I don't know how to end this, so I'm just going to say...
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Ella, and thank you for listening. And we'll be back with our next episode called... What is our next episode?
Our next episode is really defining what is anxiety psychologically and physiologically and everything in between.
Oh, that's... Yes, we're going to explore what is anxiety. And what constitutes what is it? Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Okay, thanks, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.